So, Grant, I don't know if this is this, you know, close to midlife crisis type thing. I'm just thinking of maybe, just for a little while, I'm going to try and get those sweatpants that have the word juicy on the back. I don't know how I can pull these off, but I really want to try and pull that off.
Well, you got to get an ass.
I do have to get an ass. I have been force feeding myself thousands of calories each day, so...
You can get those strip mall butt injections.
Now, here's the thing, Grant. This has nothing to do with sweatpants, but I'm going to talk about it anyways. So, little side story here. I am the new president of my condo board, and I am letting all of that power seep to my head. And because I'm the new president of this condo board, our condo insurance was coming up due. This is such a fascinating topic to start a podcast with. And simultaneously, when I took over these duties and our condo insurance was coming due, there was also somebody in the condo that was selling their condo. So some hilarious miscommunications. I thought that our condo insurance had actually lapsed, which was now impacting this person selling their condo because they now could not in good faith sell the condo to someone because they didn't want to take on that risk of actually buying a condo that had no insurance on top of it. So the whole entire deal had this risk of falling through. It was my fault, and I was already being threatened with legal repercussions if this deal fell through. And so I basically didn't sleep for 3 days stressing out about this. And when I stress eat. So I had like 5 cakes from Dairy Queen at the same time. Luckily.
Did you literally have 5 cakes?
I literally had 5 cakes. And so I've gained, I'm not even joking here, like 10 to 12 pounds in the last week just because I was freaking out about this. Finally, I get on the old horn. Get on the old squawk box over to the insurance place, and they're like, no, you totally have insurance. So I was freaking out about nothing.
Well, so far your presidency is going well.
It's going well. It's mired in controversy, Grant. I just hope that my relationship with the Russians isn't exposed.
I love it because you're busy, right? And then you take on more stuff.
Yeah, I just like to layer on just more and more and more responsibilities until I am crushed in on myself and become just a huge brick of coal. That is what I'm kind of banking on at this point. Anyway, sweatpants. That was my lob to you to talk about something that you wanted to talk about.
I saw in the wild these pants that looked, you know, they're kind of gray, look like dress pants. And then upon closer inspection, I realized they were sweatpants. But they had everything that normal pants have, except they had sweatpants cuffs at the bottom that didn't go all the way to the shoe. And he was wearing like nice shoes, a nice button-up shirt. His shirt was tucked into his sweatpants, you know, and he had
Do you in fact own a single pair of sweatpants?
Yeah, I own one, but I didn't buy it myself. Other people buy them for me.
But do you wear them?
Occasionally. Huh. If it's cold enough, I normally
but you don't sweat in them. You like wear them to bed.
Yeah.
Okay.
You mean literal sweatpants?
I mean, I don't think I even see people wearing sweatpants at the gym, to be honest. It's usually the shorts.
I would never wear sweatpants at the gym. I would never.
Dead
in my
air.
Life.
That's.
Well, did you not hear me? I was talking.
Oh, I see. Through your voice again.
I told you my computer's acting weird right now. I think every time I try and do something on the computer while I'm talking, it appears to not think I should do that.
Well, I will say what everyone always tells us about our podcast is they love the furious typing while somebody else is talking. It just adds that sweet aural texture to our conversations.
There's a lot of podcasts, though, that I used to listen to that had typing while talking.
Well, there's one that I actually still do listen to that has a furious typing that happens in it.
Yeah, and it's normally similar stuff where they're just talking about general topics. I mean, if we're doing a opinion-based, you know, comedy podcast, then normally there won't be much typing. They'll just be like, you know what, who cares?
Well, no one will ever confuse us with a comedy podcast, Grant. I will tell you this. Do you go onto Reddit much anymore?
When I run out of things to do, I'll go on to Reddit. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly just, you know, animals subreddits that I've subscribed to.
Like birds with arms, that sort of thing.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, you need to go see Birds with Arms. But so you don't have an account, though? Like, you don't go and subscribe to certain subreddits or anything?
Oh, of course, yeah. I'm Veggie Man's.
Oh, you are? Okay, great. We should. I wonder if we'll ever run into each other into, like, a weird subreddit. Anyways, beside the point, the what I was going to say is that if you go to any of the podcast subreddits, oh, boy. Like, reading through that, I just get the impression that nobody likes podcasting. That's the only conclusion I can make, because invariably there will be at least once a week a post that's like, what annoys you the most about podcasting? Or it's like, what do you not like about podcasts? And it's always like, ugh, you know what I hate? Music during a podcast. I'm like that's every single one? What are you talking about? Or it's like, oh, I hate when they add like a certain sound effect to intimate like a transition. Or it's like, I don't like when there's narration in a podcast. Or it's like, I don't like when there's two people talking on a podcast. I'm like, you're literally naming 90% of podcasts. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's ridiculous. So they just want less production value.
They want less production value, but being more real, which is like, I don't know what you want then. Like, what do you want?
They want vlog casts.
Basically, it's come down to the fact that they want something that doesn't exist, and they're mad about it. It's like, I'm not even going to try. There's an old Simpsons quote about that same thing, about asking people what they want. And it's like, you want somebody that's like down to earth, but like way better than you are, and is a millionaire, but understands the working man as your leading actor in this role. And it's like, yes, that's exactly what we want. It's like, all right, I guess we'll try and find this
Mel
diamond
Gibson.
In the rough. Mel Gibson is who you need. Anyways, welcome to Whatever This Is. This is the podcast where two guys sit down and try and discover, you know, whatever this is. My name is Kyle. I am listening to Grant, man of the people, Tingley.
Oh, and those sweatpants had belt loops, which was the thing that blew my mind the most. He wasn't wearing
what?
A belt, but it had belt loops. So no drawstring.
Okay, wait. Let's work this back. If he had been wearing a belt, would it be weirder if it was like a regular leather belt, or if it was like another piece of fabric, like a string or something that was tying them up?
The whole thing is just weird.
Wearing sweatpants out in public is weird to me. In and of itself, if you're not working out and you're just going to the mall, I do not understand you as a person who decides to wear sweatpants.
I need to dress up to go to the mall.
You don't necessarily dress up, but you also don't need to look like I've given up on life.
Oh, whatever.
Run a comb through your hair. Eat a piece of gum. That's all I'm asking.
Which hair? The head on my hair or the hair on my body?
Oh, no, just the puff below the belt.
Okay.
Having worked in a mall for over a decade at this point, I will tell you that it is phenomenal the amount of people who reek of alcohol at like 8 in the morning.
Well, yeah, but that's from the night before, really.
Oh, I know. I know they didn't get up and like, you know what? I need to start my day. This vodka and tonic. No,
well, I mean, I'm sure some are.
Sure. Daddy has to go to his insurance job. I am not getting through the day without this.
Well, we also forget about everybody that works the night shift.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's right.
There could be
and
people...
they want to have a drink after their job that's like ended at 6 a.m.?
Yeah. So, I mean...
Why is that so weird? Why does society look down on those people, Kyle?
So, but I mean, the majority of people obviously don't work the night shift, but...
But some of them do. Grant, sometimes we start with a game here on our show.
Games!
What game do you have for me this week?
Okay. Biggest movie flops of 2017.
I thought we were still in 2017 for a second. And I was like, oh, that's going to be easy probably. All right, I'm going to be embarrassed. Let's go. What's my first clue?
Well, no,
actually, first off, how do we play this game?
I'm just going to give you this is a simple thing. I'm just going to give you a handful of, and this list looks like it does it.
Doesn't
actually, I don't even know what the qualifications are for this. But this is from Business Insider. You think that they should?
They have a respected name, so I'm hoping they know what they're talking about.
But I know that there's movies that lost, like Monster Trucks lost like $111 million last year.
Are you giving me all the clues?
No, Monster Truck isn't even on the top 10 here.
Oh, I see.
But
Have you watched Monster Trucks?
No. My brother, Russell, owns it.
What do you mean he owns it?
He's the one guy that bought it.
On Blu-ray?
I wish. 4K. 3D.
What?
No, I'm kidding. Digitally.
Oh, you got it digitally. Okay. You were blowing my mind there for a moment.
And I think according to budget, advertising, and box office, I think the biggest box office loser last year was Arthur, the Legend of the Sword, I think.
Right, right.
But anyway,
I think we can all agree that the biggest losers of the box office last year was us.
I think this is a percentage they're going with here.
Hmm. What do you mean percentage? Percentage of like budget to
box
revenue?
Office, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So I just want you, first of all, I want you to give me a movie that you think lost a bunch of money last year. And I'll tell you if it's on the top 10 list, and then we'll go from there.
This is like the hardest thing for me to do because I can't even remember what came out last
year. Let
me
see. One, two, three.
I mean, Batman v Superman can't have been that big of a
loser. According to...
I think it made a ton of money.
Yeah, whatever that other article I was reading the other day, which I can't find now. I really need to bookmark this shit. Batman v Superman wasn't... Our Justice League wasn't even in the top 10.
Oh, Justice League, yeah. I'm going to guess the... Was it the Tom Tykwer movie? The City of a Thousand Planets? What was that movie?
Valerian. Also not on this list, but also, according to the article I read the other day, which has way more credibility than this, the reason why I didn't bookmark that other article was because it was really confusing.
What do you mean?
Whoever wrote it was just dumb. The formatting was horrible, and they embedded spreadsheets into the page, so you had to like click on them to download them and then look at them and be like, what are you doing? I get that there was a lot of work put into it because they had advertisement budget, they had theater rental, they had all this stuff in there, and you're just like, wow, a lot of detail.
I mean, I love that they had that dedication.
Okay, how about I just give you, I'm not going to do any research on this, but let's go with
why would we start now?
Let's go with simple stuff. This is a came out last year. It's a remake, and had an appearance from one of its original stars.
Okay.
The lead.
What genre are we talking in?
Horror
remake. What horror remakes came out last year?
One of the original stars was Kiefer Sutherland.
The Lost Boys? They didn't make a sequel, or they didn't make a remake, did they?
No. It also has Diego Luna in it.
Oh boy, do I not know what this movie is.
It grossed $45 million worldwide, according
That's
to Wikipedia.
That's why I don't know what it is.
The original came out in 1990, had Pretty Woman in it.
Gosh, Julia Roberts, Kiefer Sutherland in a 1990 film was a horror film.
This movie starred Ellen Page. Well, I guess you could call it more of a thriller, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I literally do not know what this movie is.
Flatliners.
Okay, yeah, nope.
Yeah, it looks like Business Insider is going strictly off domestic box office.
Okay.
So
it was not good, is what we're saying. Did not make its money back. What was its budget, supposedly?
Well, this is why the game is going to be dumber than I thought. Because on Wikipedia, the budget, or they grossed $45 million. According to this article, it grossed $16 million.
Okay.
So apparently I can do better research just on Wikipedia than this guy does. So
Let's go to the next one.
let's just slightly change the game a little to I give you hints about horrible movies and you try and tell me what the answer is.
Sure.
Sounds good.
I can dig it.
Kind of a Coen Brothers movie.
Kind of a. Oh, was it. Is it the one that was. Did it have Matt Damon in it?
It did have Matt Damon in it.
And it was directed by George Clooney.
Yes, it was directed by George Clooney.
Oh,
That's good.
Suburbanators. I can't
Yeah,
remember
that's
what
good
that
enough for
movie
me.
was called.
Suburbicon.
Suburbicon.
Good for you. Kind of a Coen Brothers movie. Big hint, apparently. All right.
Yeah, well, there you go.
This movie starred Thanos.
Okay, Mr. Josh Brolin.
It also starred Whiplash.
When you say Whiplash, are we talking the kid or the a teacher in Whiplash?
Well, the kid was in a car accident and he probably got the whiplash.
Okay. So whatever that guy's name is, who I can't remember.
Miles Teller.
Miles, do you know what is special about Miles Teller and this podcast?
That he looks like he should get punched in the face.
Well, that too. But our very, very first episode that's not available anymore, but the very first podcast that was released was about the movie Project X, which he starred in.
Oh, that's funny.
Isn't that fun?
This movie was directed by the guy. I like this game. Vague hints.
Vague hints. I don't know a movie that starred Miles Teller and Josh Brolin.
It was directed by the guy that did Tron Legacy. He also did a Tom Hanks movie or a Tom Cruise movie. Very distinctly different people.
Yeah, that was Oblivion, I
It
think,
was
that he.
Oblivion, yes.
I don't know what movie he directed last year then.
About firefighters.
Oh, Fire. No, that's not Firestarter. I don't know.
Only the brave.
There's no way I would have pulled that out. There's literally no way I would have ever have named that movie.
According to the Business Insider, it says $17.9 million made domestically on a reported budget of $38 million. Right.
Did you just take a sip of something?
I'm drinking Martinelli sparkling cider,
Oh.
and I'm drinking it out of the bottle, so it made a weird
Weird
bubbling
noise.
weirdness out of it when I was. Okay. This stars Kristen Bell's husband.
Dax, okay.
It also stars a fast-talking Ant-Man accomplice who served as served an end of watch with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Sure. I can't remember his name.
It also he plays a very similar character, or his character has a very similar occupation to his end of watch character.
That's typecasting.
Well, no, he's also Mexican, so there's that. It's also horrible.
I figured. I mean, you had me at it stars Dax Shepard, so I was pretty sure.
When we do our best of 2017, this might be my worst movie of 2017.
Was this based on another property?
Yes, it was.
I can't remember. I vaguely remember another podcast I listened to mentioning how bad this movie was.
The title has
A
five letters.
cartoon? Was it based on a cartoon?
No, it was based on
No.
a TV series from like
On
the
TV
80s.
series in the 80s.
The
Not
title
like
has.
not like Chips or
There
something.
you go.
It was Chips? Okay.
That was like two out of three. Good for you.
Hey, if it's a TV show from the 70s or 80s, I'm your guy.
You've been doing good lately with these games.
Yeah, I know.
Are you taking performance enhancing drugs?
I am. It's called Wikipedia.
Okay. So I'm gonna throw a wild card into the mix.
Oh no.
Guess, did you see the appearance from Sean Penn on the Colbert Report or Colbert Show?
No.
Where he was like on Ambien and smoking the whole time?
I must have missed that.
Anyways, guess what?
What?
Sean Penn and Mel Gibson are starring in a movie together. Be
Okay.
because what they're going for is supreme public appeal.
I call it box office poison.
Oh man. I mean, we got two people that like to treat women poorly. Good for them. But it's a very fascinating subject, and that's why I bring it up.
Okay.
There's a person called James Murray. Now, James Murray was committed to an insane asylum. Oh, no, Dr. William Chester Minor. James Murray was the editor of the Oxford English Dictionary
Okay.
when it was first, like he was there for years from
Do you
eight.
think that he ever was like, you know what? Let's just mix up the alphabet this year. Let's just go nuts.
I don't think the Oxford English Dictionary was in charge of the alphabet.
But yeah, but he's the editor. He can do whatever the hell he wants.
I think they were
This
just in.
year, Y comes first.
So Dr. William Chester Minor, who's going to be played by Sean Penn, was somebody that was sent to a lunatic asylum for murder, right? And he is one of the largest contributors to the Oxford English Dictionary of all time. While he was in the lunatic asylum, he would just send in, lunatic means this, asylum means this, English
He was
means this.
playing Boggle in his cell.
With him and himself and Jim Carrey.
Correct.
Yeah.
But honestly, at the end of the day, Grant, who is Jim Carrey? We're all just fake people. Everything's a lie.
It's a construct.
It's all a construct.
Man, Jim Carrey is a weird guy.
He's gone weird. Sorry, were we leading up to you asking me a question, or is this just a little run
No,
on those
it's
two
a
people?
fascinating movie project. Mel Gibson's held the rights to this
Oh,
book
I see.
for 20 years.
Boy, oh boy.
It's
Okay.
called The Professor and the Madman.
So he wants to direct it, I'm assuming.
No, he passed it off to somebody that has written for him. I believe the writer was the writer of Apocalypto.
Okay,
His
yeah.
name's Farid Safinia. He wanted to do it. He wanted to direct it, but I don't know if he's busy right now or something. Anyways, they filmed it in 2016. And then guess what happened? Mel Gibson sued the production company over creative control, because as one Mel Gibson does. So that's why it's been a little bit in production hell, because normally a film that would of this production value filmed in 2016 would have already come out, maybe 5 months after wrap.
Right.
It's not, that big of a thing unless they were holding it for a specific film festival. But just imagine that a guy in an insane asylum. This is what I find fascinating. The guy, Dr. William Chester Minor was an American army surgeon and one of the largest contributors to the Oxford English Dictionary while he was in a lunatic asylum.
Yeah, there's a lot of story there, I
This is just
guess.
fascinating to me. And I read about this guy, like 5 years ago, and he's stuck in my brain forever. And then the other day, I watch TV shows and stuff, and then I see, oh, I recognize that guy. Who is he? What was he in? What was he in? And then it brought me to Sean Penn somehow, and then that brought me to The Madman and the Professor. And the craziest pairing. Can you think of a more weird, not a weird pairing, but a like a box office poison pairing more than Mel Gibson and Sean Penn?
Apparently, Dax Shepard and anyone.
Well, Dax Shepard was in. No, he was. No. Nope, they were all box office poison.
They're all awful. They were all awful.
Remember when he was in that
Well,
movie with Dane Cook and Jessica Simpson?
I unfortunately do, Grant.
And Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite. Now, that is a powerhouse cast. Oh, and Harlan
That's a
Williams. Andy
that was the
Dick.
yeah, that was the Avengers of its time, Grant.
And the whole showdown was a speed checkout at the end. Took place in a Costco.
It was 40 minutes long, and everyone still complained about the length.
40 minutes long, 40 minutes too long.
That's right. Grant, let's jump into our topics here this week. I mean, most of the time we get to our topics on this little document that we share between each other and we talk about them. And that is exactly what we're going to continue to do today. I'm going to jump in first here, and I want to discuss this thing that's been in the news about how Steven Spielberg is a little bit throwing some shade over at Netflix and streaming sites in general, saying that they should not qualify for Academy Awards and that they should be qualifying for Emmys because they are being made to be shown on TV, not being shown in a cinema.
Which I think is kind of ridiculous because at this point...
Start your pretentious engines.
So this is how I feel about that. You have a movie that just went into film festivals, did the 5-day or 2-weekend qualifying run in New York and L.A., right? And yep. 99% of the United States population and not less than 1%, less than 0.00001% of the population of the Oscar viewers have seen the movie. Spielberg would rather have that have a better chance of winning an Oscar than a more qualified film seen by maybe 20% of the Oscar viewing public, but that was available to be viewed by 100% of the Oscar viewing public. That to me shows the miscalculation of and the willingness of Spielberg to just allow the Oscars to die.
I just find it weird that a man that made Jurassic Park 2 has an opinion on anything.
Oh, no. Yeah, that and Schindler's List. Ha.
What a snooze fest that was. Black and white. Oh, look at me. I'm too good for color. Racist.
Well, yeah, he's too good for color.
I think the deeper thing here, Grant, I'm going to cut him a little bit of slack here. I'm going to go past my little pretentiousness thing that I just did there, my own throwing of shade, if you will. I think if you read into the articles that have been written about this, it's that it's not so much the distribution. It's legitimately the made-for-Netflix tag. So if it was originally made and funded by Netflix to never go to a theater in the first place, those are the films that he is kind of saying, I don't think that those should be eligible for Academy Awards. We'll jump into the Academy Awards situation here in a moment, but those are the ones he's talking about. He's not talking necessarily about like the movie Annihilation, which, except in North America, is not having a theater run. It's going straight to Netflix, but was originally made to be shown on a big screen and just so happens to be have bought from Netflix to be streamed everywhere.
Then I guess what I say is the movie Tangerine should not have been eligible for Oscars because it was made using an iPhone, and iPhones aren't used for making movies for the big screen.
Right.
He doesn't like things pretending to be things they aren't.
That's right. He hates Victor Victoria. Hates that movie.
I used one of their songs once for a audition piece. I can't remember which one it was.
Was it La Jazz Hot?
I have no idea what that means.
Me and You, maybe?
That might have been it.
Yeah.
Is La Jazz Hot a real thing, or did you make that up?
No, that's the big showstopper that Julie Andrews sings in that movie.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Neither has Steven Spielberg, because he hates transsexuals, was the joke I was making.
Oh, okay.
I think that is the deeper reason, Grant, and why I share your opinion primarily about this, is that if we start having these really authoritative rules, which is like a movie that deserves recognition is... it has to fit these specifications. Like, it has to be filmed on this type of camera, and it has to have been meant to be shown on this size of screen, and it has to have been written by this specific type of person. Like, when it gets into those types of things, I think we're losing the art that goes into the process of filmmaking in the first place. And at the end of the day, you're right. If I'm a filmmaker, I want people to watch my movie. And where are people watching movies? They're watching them on Netflix.
Well, this is how I feel about it. Hey, Spielberg, If you don't think that whatever movie that was only on Netflix doesn't deserve an Oscar because it was only shown on Netflix, don't vote for it. We don't need to make rules. Just go, you know what? I don't think this thing qualifies under my definition of things. It's like voting for the people to get into the Hall of Fame for Major League Baseball or whatever else. But people
Which
have
Hall of Fame?
Major League Baseball, we'll go with that one.
Okay.
So people go, I'm not going to vote for Barry Bonds because we are pretty certain he used performance-enhancing drugs. And I don't think people that use performance-enhancing drugs should be in the Hall of Fame. But other people are like, I really don't give a shit. Let's just vote in whoever played the best baseball.
Yeah, let's just do that. Grant, let's pause for a second. I have to go let Jen into my building.
Are you pausing the actual show, or do I need to fill?
Why don't you fill some time? Fill some time as I run away for like 2 minutes.
All
And
right.
then I'll get to listen to this while I'm editing it and
Yeah.
see if it actually survives anything. So, yes, I'm running away. I'll be back right back.
Okay, so let's talk about, let's see here. So China's space lab is going to be falling to Earth in the next couple of days here. The Chang'e-1 space lab. And let's see here, where is it going to fall to Earth? A Chinese space lab could plummet back to Earth as early as Saturday, authorities say. It's a 40-foot long, nicknamed the Heavenly Palace. It's expected to, between March 31st and April 1st. Well, I guess that's just 2 days. That's not that big. Oh, earlier estimates put the date as late as April 4th. Do you ever hope that this, like, getting hit by something would be pretty fun? If I had to die, Dead Like Me got hit. The main character died by getting hit in the head by a falling toilet seat. I don't know if it was from a space station or not, but still. Anyways, apparently it's as low as 1 in 1 trillion that you're going to get hit with any debris. Because the structure is likely to burn up in the atmosphere during reentry. There is no need for people to worry, the Chinese Manned Space Engineer Office says, because it is going to burn up. It won't crash to the Earth fiercely, as in sci-fi scenarios, but will look more like a shower of meteors. The other day I was taking the garbage out at like 11 o'clock midnight or something like that. And it's great when you just happen upon things like this, doing something so mundane. I just put the bag in the trash can and I just turn around at the right moment just to see this massive meteor, falling star, coming down. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was debris. I don't know if it was UFO, but it sure was heck beautiful. Of course, the first thing I did was email my mother, because that's what you do in those situations. The Buster Bluth would. I'm doing Army Mom.
Awesome.
So,
Have fun, guys.
okay, thanks. All right, how much of a racist tirade did you go on?
No, I talked about the Chinese space lab, and I talked about Arrested Development, and I just talked about falling stars.
All right, great. That sounds great. Grant, here's what I have a question of then. If you were to make a movie on Netflix, how would you go about doing that?
Well, what do you mean, like topic-wise or
Yeah,
production-wise?
like we're about to, we have just been asked. Literally, I just phoned up Netflix and said, "Can I be part of this 700 hours of programming you're making this year?" And they're saying, like, "Yeah, go nuts, buddy. You have an 8-episode series. Go." And I'm like, "Okay, I'm gonna pull my friend Grant into this. What is our thing? What are we doing?"
What I would really love to do is I would like to buy options, for a handful of really, really good one-act plays. Things that would never get seen by anybody unless you go to a high school, one-act festival.
Okay, sure.
You know,
So
so.
basically you're just buying up like the fringes and stuff like that that are being performed.
Yeah, it would be really cool to, one-act plays from, the last 2 million years, the whole entirety of historic and prehistoric time,
So are we talking like stuff that doesn't have any interaction with each other? Like it would be like a Black Mirror type of show where each episode is its own separate thing.
Yeah, and the production value would be reasonably low because most one acts don't have crazy production values.
You could get like a black box theater rented out just yeah. do your stuff right from there.
I mean, you could put a bunch of money in a little set, but again, most one act plays don't have different sets. They all take place in one place. So I would really, that's what something I would love to do, to bring to the masses some of these really glorious pieces of theater that most of the human experience has no chance of seeing. I also think it would be really great to be able to format, I think it would be pretty easy to bring in one or two really reasonably known stars, like, say, Josh Radnor from How I Met Your Mother. He'd be willing
maybe,
to do
maybe
something.
Maybe a Glenn Close. I mean, what is she doing?
She's busy doing her one man / woman show about the character she played in Hook.
That's right.
Meeting Walter Knobs.
It's a sequel to Hook that
It's a sequel crossover event. Mm-hmm. It's bigger. By the way, I have a big problem with people calling Infinity War a crossover. It bothers me immensely. It's a sequel. It is a sequel that takes place within the MCU. Just because a crossover event is when DC and Marvel hook up, something that was unexpected.
Yeah. Which I'm sure is going to come eventually in movies anyways, just because it has to now at this point.
In 75 years, they will. But I'm sure DC, late at night, 4 in the morning, calls up Marvel and goes, how about Batman meets Iron Man? And then, Marvel hangs up, takes a picture of the middle finger, and then sends it back to DC.
Yeah. My idea for a Netflix show, Grant, when we come home sometimes, and when I say we, I mean you and I, because we live together. When we come home, I mean, oftentimes people are in their heads and like, what should I do? Should I watch Netflix? Should I watch some YouTube? I say, let's cut out the middleman and just make a show of me watching a Netflix show or watching YouTube, and that's the episode. So, win-win. So you can actually be watching Netflix and YouTube at the exact same time.
My question is, are you doing commentary on the YouTube?
No, it is just me watching it. It's like a camera shot over my shoulder watching the screen that I am watching.
So a very boring version of Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Twitch.
Well, it might be slightly more interesting than Twitch, but definitely a less interesting Mystery Science Theater.
Wow, throwing shade on Twitch.
But then you would see me every so often, like every 20 seconds or so, like move my finger just to see how much longer the video has. Just constantly checking.
I watched a YouTube video earlier today, and the guy was talking about the people are postulating, because in the Infinity Wars trailer, Cap is able to hold up Thanos's Infinity Gauntlet's hand. Mm-hmm. And people are like, how can he do that? Blah, 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 whatever, this, that, and the other thing. And, he's going through this whole thing. And I'm like, this is an 8-minute long video. But if he scripted it, it could be 4 minutes, maybe. Because I'm like, you're repeating yourself again and again. And I just want to thumbs down this. I rarely thumbs down things. I also rarely thumbs up things. But I
thumbs up so much stuff. Not online. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
You have to keep your thumbnails short.
Yeah. Any other goofs on Netflix, or are we done with that?
I took it seriously.
You're being super serious, man. This week for some reason.
I know. Well, I've been kind of busy this week, and I've been kind of getting weird sleep hours all over the place. Mm-hmm.
Know what you could do then, if you really wanted to be able to sleep easier. Listen to the podcast that's hosted by Dax Shepard.
Dax Shepard and guest, which is one of his children the entire time.
Right, right. Grant, because I do have a guest here, let's do one more story and wrap it up. This is going to be a short episode this week.
Okay, let's see. Oh, the new Men in Black.
Uh-huh.
The stars of Thor Ragnarok, Thor himself, and Valkyrie are going to be the new agents in the new Men in Black.
Now, are they actual characters, or are they playing their characters from Thor?
They're playing their characters from Thor. See, now, great. This is a crossover event.
This is a crossover event, exactly, 100%. And we've always known that Men in Black and the Avengers are basically in the same universe.
And Rip Torn has been recast with Rip Taylor.
Great. I mean, thank goodness. I have been saying that since the beginning. You got the wrong Rip. You got the wrong Rip.
Is that also
Where
something?
Is the confetti? Where is this confetti? There's no confetti.
I can't tell if you're still talking about sexual things or an actual serious
it's
thing.
It's both. I can only get off if I envision Rip Taylor.
I was like, you got the wrong Rip, and there, where's the confetti was what I was thinking.
Uh-huh.
I imagine your biggest fantasy in life is the conclusion of your sexual exploits. You know those little tiny one-inch little stringy popper things?
Oh, yeah.
That, yeah, that is the conclusion of your sexual exploits.
There has been nothing that resembles so closely what my orgasm looks like.
I was trying to avoid the term orgasm.
Now, I've noticed here, though, Grant, that Tessa Thompson is a black woman. So I don't understand how she is going to be a man in black.
Well, if you remember from the first movie, whatever that lady was that was in the first movie, I wanted to say Linda Fiorentino, but that's completely wrong. But
Emma Thompson.
That's the third movie.
Emma Watson?
She was a no. She was
Emma Wilson.
Yes. Okay. Anyways, she was a coroner in the first movie.
No, she was a coroner.
Which is basically a coroner that only doesn't write down her coroner reports. She sings them.
Yeah, exactly. They're dead. Yes.
As you can tell by the broken thyroid bone, this person was choked to death.
Exactly. It's lupus.
It's never lupus.
Yeah.
Did you actually get that reference? It's never lupus?
Yeah, that was House.
Okay.
I think I'm excited for this, to be honest with you. Having said that, I never saw Men in Black 3. I definitely watched the first two, enjoyed them for what they were, but it's definitely a series that I think works well. It's a nice little action-adventure comedy thing.
The best part about Men in Black 3 is a name that you should recognize, Michael Stuhlbarg.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, Michael Stuhlbarg is great.
He is the comedic it's funny, in a comedy, he's the comedic relief.
Okay, interesting.
That's not how it's supposed to work.
No. Oh gosh, who's the actor that stars in, you know, Dewey Cox, like Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story? What's that actor's name?
Thomas J. Hardy.
No, the guy who's in Step Brothers.
Tom Riley.
Will Ferrell.
Ed Riley.
No, some Charles Nelson Reilly. No,
We have the Reilly part. We have one. We're Rubik's cubing this name. We got one side done.
That's right. It is Reilly.
John C. Reilly.
Thank you. Good Lord. Okay, John C. Reilly. I don't know if you know this. Do you know about the John C. Reilly Award?
No. What is it?
John C. Reilly Award is the actor who is in the most Best Picture nominees each year.
Yeah, wasn't he in like 4 one year?
Yes, that's why they named it after him. This year, it was Michael Stuhlbarg, who was in 3 of them, who was in Call Me By Your Name, he was in The Newsroom, and he was in Shape of Water.
Well, it wasn't The Newsroom, but that's cool.
Wasn't it?
It was
what am I thinking of?
Post.
Oh, the new, right. That movie left such a non-impression to me. It was just like, you know that one that's in The Newsroom?
When I left The Post... I was like, that was, I can't remember.
It was a movie.
Tom Hanks was in it.
That's the awful thing is that it was a movie. The performances were great, and I don't remember a single thing about it. But it was a movie, for sure.
The one thing I remember about The Post, for sure, is that Bob Odenkirk, his character was whitewashed, because I think his character was Middle Eastern.
Oh, really?
Or something similar. And they cast Bob Odenkirk.
Oh, boy. So the whitest of the white. All right, Grant. Unfortunately, we do have to wrap up because we couldn't time this properly this week. So thank you so much for listening. If you have a Netflix series that you think you should pitch to us, or you have some opinions about Men in Black, the new thing, you should send that to whateverpod@gmail.com. We can also get in contact with us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/whateverpod. We're also on Twitter, twitter.com/whateverpod. My own personal Twitter is @TheKyleMarshall. That's Marshall with two L's. Grant, what's your Twitter?
Twitter.com/FeggieMans, F-E-J. F-E-J. I can't spell it. FeggieMans. F-E-J-I-M-A-N-Z. Or Z, depending upon what country you're in.
It's great.
Yep. And Tyler Hauser.
I've never seen stumble that much. Oh, right. And then the music that you did absolutely hear in this episode was all done by Tyler Forrest Hauser.
Whether or not wanted it or not, I don't care about you, Reddit.
Just up in those ear holes that was forced upon you, thrust upon you, some might say, by Tyler Forrest Hauser and his nefarious ways. Grant, next week we do have to talk about some stuff that we've been watching, because boy, do I have some thoughts on some TV I've been looking at and watching.
Yeah, you know what's really hard to track down if you're not part of DirecTV, AT&T, is anything on their proprietary channel.
Huh. And what does that include?
Well, I'm trying to get my hands on Milk Louder, I think it's Milk Louder.
Louder Milk.
Louder Milk, yeah.
Yes.
Boy, is that tough to find. And there's a
lot of. I don't know what that is. What is that?
Well, Ron Livingston and Will Sasso play roommates. Okay. They're both recovering addicts.
You had me at Will Sasso, but okay.
It had me at Ron Livingston. I'm a big Ron Livingston fan. Ever since The Office, when I was younger in high school, our Office Space, I watched Office Space at least once a day for about 6 weeks.
Wow.
I love the movie, and I still get a kick out of it. But anyways, yeah, so I'm trying to get my hands on that. I want to watch that. I saw the pilot. Really fun so far. It's kind of the lovable anti-hero helping other people. Ron Livingston plays a recovering addict who's also the head of a group therapy thing. So that's really quite interesting to me. And Ron Livingston is underrated. The one Ron Livingston line a lot where – every day is worse than the day before. So every time you see me, you're seeing me on the worst day of my life. To which his therapist just goes, wow, man, that's fucked up.
I have opinions on Roseanne that you're probably not going to like.
Well,
so
I've heard a lot of good stuff about that. So
we'll talk about that next time. We'll talk about that next time. Yeah.